Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about God is able to keep us from stumbling. So let's read Jude verses 24 and 25 again together. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Now on the last broadcast, we were examining the biblical doctrine of original sin and how that truth ties in with verse 24 of Jude. Jude says here in verse 24 that God is well able to keep us from falling. And if we can grasp what the Bible teaches about sin and salvation, then this verse will become a great comfort and strength to us. On the last broadcast, we were looking at the fact that even though we are saved, we are still sinners. Because we are saved, our sin is not acceptable to us. And because we are saved, we do not desire to sin anymore. And when we do, and when we see our wickedness, we repent. And so anything that allows us to see our sin, anything that grants us insight into our own heart, anything that equips us to see how we are displeasing the Lord is good and helpful and desired of those who are saved so that we may see and so that we may repent and so that we do not sin against our wonderful God. This is a process called sanctification. It is a lifelong process of us seeing ourselves as God sees us so that we may confess our sin, turn from our sin so that we may be molded and shaped and formed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ and be pleasing unto our God. Sanctification is a process that begins at the very instant of salvation and lasts throughout our entire lifetime. Sanctification does not save us, but is the normal response to being saved. The process of sanctification necessarily involves trials and tests and afflictions and persecutions and troubles and problems, as well as wonderful and good things that arise in our lives, and all of these things, the good and the bad, work together to cut off the things which displease the Lord that are in our lives and add those things that are pleasing to the Lord to our lives. This process of sanctification enables us to develop a type of righteousness that is personal and that does belong to us, so that over the years we become more righteous and we become more holy and we sin less. But even though over the years we personally do become more righteous, that personal righteousness that is developed by and through our sanctification will never rise to the level of qualifying us for heaven. And although it is true that through the sanctification process we do sin less over time, we will never attain to sinless perfection. We also saw last time that the righteousness that justifies us, the righteousness that qualifies for heaven, is not our own righteousness, but is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that God credits to us or imputes to us at the very instant we are justified. Our own righteousness that we develop through sanctification is not sinless, neither is it spotless. In fact, the Bible says it is like filthy rags, and our righteousness can never become good enough to allow us to enter into heaven. This is why the imputation of Christ's righteousness is so very important to know and believe and understand. Without Christ's perfect righteousness being credited to us, no one would ever be good enough or be able to go to heaven. It is precisely because people do not understand this, that billions of souls all over the world are working so hard right now to make themselves good enough to try to earn heaven. They have mistaken the lifelong process of sanctification with a single event of justification. We who are saved are sanctified every day. We are faced with trials and tests every day, and we handle these things with various degrees of success. We are molded and shaped into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ every day by both our successes against sin and by our failures. But even though we are being sanctified every day, we are saved only one time. We are saved at a particular time and a particular place, and that one single moment when our black heart was washed with red, holy blood, and we became whiter than snow, that one single moment when God Almighty immediately imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us by faith alone. That's when we were justified. Being justified is different from being sanctified. The two are not the same thing. Salvation is a moment, an event. Sanctification is a process that begins at the moment of justification and continues all throughout our natural life, excluding purgatory. Because purgatory is a myth. The lifelong process of sanctification ends at the very moment we die, and we enter into glorification in heaven. The purpose of sanctification is to equip us for service and to enable us to bring honor and glory to God through our godly fruit and our good works as God uses trials and tests to mold and shape us and as we develop our abundant life in Jesus Christ. But sanctification does not and cannot save anybody. The purpose of justification is to instantly give us everything that we need in order to go to heaven. That is why justification must be a sovereign work of God alone. But sanctification is all about works and fruit and deeds and things that we do after we are saved, as we cooperate with God in the process of being molded and shaped into Christ's image. But salvation, justification, is all about God and is all about grace working through faith in Christ alone and involves no works, no deeds of man in any way, shape, or form. You see, before God created the world, God chose those whom He was going to save based on nothing that these people had or had not done, but based upon nothing more than what pleased God Himself. And then Christ died to assure that those whom God chose would be saved, and then God's Spirit drew those elected sinners, kicking and screaming against their own will, into God's presence, and then God sovereignly regenerated their heart. God sovereignly gave them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe. And then God assured that the gospel would be preached to them. And then after all of that, God had sovereignly done for them without any action on their part at all. After all that, when they saw it with the eyes that God gave them, and all that they heard with the ears that God gave them, and when they believed with the new heart that God gave them, because they had the new divine nature working in them that replaced their old Adamic nature, they simply followed their new nature, and they repented and trusted in Christ for salvation. But sanctification has everything to do with people who are already saved and regenerate, cooperating with God through the fires of tests and trials, so that our lives could be changed from one realm of glory to another, so that we could become more pleasing to the Lord, while salvation, justification, has to do with God alone working sovereignly on behalf of dead, blind, deaf, lost people to regenerate them and recreate them so that they may be justified in His sight. So even though we are justified by grace through faith in Christ alone, we are in fact still sinful. And thus we needed to be sanctified so that we can see our sin and repent and turn from it. This is why Jude said in verse 24 that even though we still sin, that's because we are saved, God is able to keep us from stumbling. It is this dual status of being simultaneously righteous and sinful that troubles so many people. Now, the reformers of the 16th century rightly taught that we are righteous only in the sense that by faith alone God has imputed the very righteousness of Jesus Christ to us. But at the same time that we are counted righteous in Christ, we are in fact simultaneously sinful in a real way, and we do think and act out wrong and sinful things. It is this fantastic teaching about believers being simultaneously righteous and sinful that brought about the extreme persecution that the Jews made against the Apostle Paul. You see, the Jews incorrectly thought that for Paul to teach that anyone could be saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone was ridiculous, because that would place a holy God in the position of declaring sinful people to be righteous when in fact they were still sinful. And without grace, the Jew would be right. Without the fact that Jesus Christ absorbed the just wrath of God against our sin in our place, the Jew would be right. But Jesus did die on the cross. And before He died, He did live a perfectly sinless life. And because of all that, Jesus literally earned His own perfect righteousness. And it is that sinless, spotless righteousness that allows anyone to stand before God and be able to pass through God's judgment on his life. For anyone to think for a second that his own personal righteousness would ever rise to that level that would allow him to enter into heaven is demonstrating the height of arrogance and foolishness. No man, not Moses, not Abraham, not Paul, not Mary, not the Pope, not Franklin Graham, not me, not even you, could live for one day without sinning in either thought, word, or deed, or intent of the heart. So if salvation can only be attained because we cease to sin, then nobody is saved. However, what both the Jew and the Muslim say is partially true. It is true that Almighty God has no obligation whatsoever to declare anyone to be righteous when in fact they are sinful. And if you think about it, why should He? For God to declare guilty people to be innocent would be a travesty of His justice and would dishonor God. But that very valid point of argument is rendered null and void because of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus did. The reason that neither the Jew nor the Muslim can accept the fact that lost sinners can be instantly saved to be simultaneously righteous and sinful in God's eyes is because neither one of their theologies includes a propitiation for sin. Because Jesus was the firstborn male son who was both sinless and spotless, He alone qualified to be our sacrifice. Because God became a man, Jesus could be our substitute. No one else in heaven or earth qualified to be the substitutionary sacrifice beside Jesus. And because He was both sinless and human, because He was both God and man, because He was tempted like we are, yet without sin, God was able then to lay upon Jesus the sins of us all, and then pour out His wrath and fury against those sins on Jesus, on the cross. And by doing this, 2 Corinthians 5:21 could be fulfilled where it says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God's just fury against our sin was heaped upon Jesus, and He took God's punishment upon Himself so that two things might be true. God's holy justice against all sin could be fulfilled. We could go free, even though we're sinners. So, not because of anything good in us, but strictly in honor of what Jesus did, God sovereignly declares the person for whom Christ died to be righteous, and will impute or credit the same sinless righteousness that Jesus earned to that person in the greatest act of mercy and kindness the world has ever known. So is this really a big deal? You betcha. It is on this one single point that all of the religions and philosophies of man disagree with biblical Christianity. And make no mistake about this, the bone of contention with every single religion and philosophy on earth is over the person of Jesus Christ. To the Jew, the imputation of Christ's righteousness to a sinful person is patently obscene. That is because the Jew does not recognize that Jesus was God. To the Jew, grace and mercy negate God's righteous justice against sin. And because they reject the concept of grace and mercy that was brought about through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, they are left with having to earn their salvation through their own human works. To the Muslim, the fact that God would choose to wrap Himself in human flesh and then die is ridiculous. That is because the Muslim, like the Jew, totally rejects the notion that Jesus was God. The Muslim will agree all day long that Jesus was a nice guy, or that He was a prophet, or that He was a teacher. They even agree that Jesus was virgin born and was the Jewish Messiah. But they categorically reject the deity of Jesus Christ, and they reject the notion that God was made man. They reason to themselves, how in the world does a person kill God? And because they too reject the very concept of grace and mercy that was brought about through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, they too are left with having to earn their own salvation through their own human works. This is why grown men who are college educated are more than willing to blow themselves up in airplanes, because they think that there is no other way for them to earn heaven. And you can go through the entire list of the thousands of man-made religions and cults and philosophies. Every single one of them, without exception, reject who Jesus was and what Jesus did. And when you do that, you are left with only one alternative. If anyone for any reason rejects Jesus, who Jesus is and what Jesus did, he takes away the only sufficient vehicle for our redemption. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.